Addie motherfucking Mills, dude.
When yes, dude.
When our listeners, when you, when Kevin and other people said, we need Patty Mills on this team. He could be a really good veteran presence. The Aussie connection is really powerful.
Hmm.
Personally, I thought it wasn't going to happen because I felt like Patty Mills is a known great player. Like, he's the type of guy that's like glue player, playoff, really, really solid player. And I thought, sure, there's really no way that we're going to give up assets to go get him.
Hmm.
Turns out, it looks like early reports say we're receiving a second round pick for getting Patty Mills. Is that what you hear, Dave?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm hearing. It's shocking to me, honestly, because like I said, before we got cut off this last time, you asked, we had a bunch of people ask, who would we want to have on this team? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there and we contemplated about like which veteran would do this team the most good, essentially. And, you know, we had some really good ideas out there, but when we were talking about it, and like you said, Kevin brought it up, we had some other people bring it up saying that Patty Mills was the guy that we needed on this team. He's a leader. He can do things. He leads from the bench. He's like a coach on the floor. So of course, when we were able to get him, I think Sam jumped on it because I don't think that was something that was just, you know, new to us or new to Sam or new to these other people. I think it was, you know, like you said, it's a well-known thing that Patty Mills is one of the best leaders, veterans on a team or even in the NBA.
Absolutely. I really thought he was too valuable for us to get for just taking a salary dump. I mean, $7 million, I think, is what he's owed. That's not enough. He's too good of a player for us to be able to get for free, except we have Sam Presti, so the impossible is possible. So what type of presence does he provide? I mean, I know he's not at the level of player he was like when he was with San Antonio, but like, is it a locker room? Is it a steady hand, you know, during...
Listen, the player he was at San Antonio was a teacher. That's why he was so effective the way he was. When you get into a locker room with a bunch of other veterans, you're not a teacher anymore. So if you're going to put Patty Mills in a teaching environment and you're going to let him be who he is and teach, man, this is exactly what he needs. He's going to go out there. He's going to be like, hey, Josh, hey, J-Dub, hey, you know, J-Will, when you set a screen, I want you to do this. Like, that's what he does. He's going to do exactly what Coach D tells him to do, go out there and teach the guys exactly how to play. Not because he's like, hey, I'm doing it this way. Hey, let me show you how to do it right. I mean, that's way more powerful, in my opinion, is to have a player like that. And it's just not one player. Patty Mills isn't one. Thank you to one of our newer listeners that, you know, you're right. We can't say last names, you know. But Misich is one of those. Misich. There we go. Misich. All right, guys. It's a Misich. All right. We'll get it right. But Misich, though, is another one of those leaders, you know. And if you're starting to look at the team and Kenny Hustle, and then you're starting to look at even Keontae Johnson, these are the guys that are filling out our bench. And it's so important to say is, like, last year I felt like one of our weakest abilities was to have veteran players on the court. You know, I think that was quite, being the second youngest team in history, we had a hard time having veterans out on the court. Well, I feel like the last 48 hours has been proof that Sam kind of agrees with that. You know, like, the fact is that when it comes down to it, Sam Presti is looking at this and saying, hey, we need some veterans out there. You know, which veterans are staying? We don't know yet, but we are going to have more veterans than we did last year.
Apathetic D, let's talk about what you're talking about here, man. Would we be opposed to moving a bunch of the picks, Jang, Jerry, Bertans contract, Oladipo contract, Mills contract for Dame? All right. That's a loaded question, and there's two sides of this. First of all, there's the Dame side. I would love to see a player like Damian Lillard on the Thunder, but our timelines don't match up. His positioning would take away too much opportunity from our players. So that's my opinion on Dame. I'll let you go, Dave, and then we'll talk about some of these other elements of this.
Well, first of all, I think August 21st or something like that is when we can make a trade, a multiplayer trade of Bertans. So, you know, we've got to wait a little bit of time. And I think around, I forget when the date is that we could actually trade Misich too. So there's certain players here that I don't necessarily think that are going to be on our team. Right. Now it's all about value. So Dame, how does he help us out right now? He's what, 32? you know, he helps us win right now. If we were to try to win a championship right now, I would say that, yes, go for it. But I don't feel that Damian Lillard would push us over the top for a championship caliber team right now.
What's up, Monty?
I do that. I say that with all due respect to Damian Lillard and where the Thunder are at. I think the Thunder are a hypothetical second rounder, second round team this year in the playoffs. We could surprise a team because a team gets injured, or we get a really good matchup and we should make it to the Western Conference Finals. But that would be a surprise for a lot of people. So let's just you know, calm that stuff down and say second round team. So where would Damian Lillard put us if we had him? Then we're looking at a situation that we could maybe make the Western Conference Finals. We make a trade for Damian Lillard if we were at that Western Conference Finals position already, right? And mm-hmm. all we needed to do is get Damian Lillard to push us over the top. But that's the problem. I don't think we're at that point yet. So making a trade for Damian at this point, I wouldn't say would be a wise choice at this moment, because it doesn't help us enough to, it would stunt our growth, essentially. It would be cheating the system, essentially, what I guess I'm trying to get at.
I agree. So let's talk about, there's two parts of this proposed trade by Apathetic D. You got the young players, Jang and JRE, who are on rookie scale contracts right now. And I think those two guys, because of that, we're going to probably hang on to. But the obvious thing here is the Bertans, Oladipo, and Mills combination. Now, specifically, Bertans has 2 years left. So I don't think that we're going to be in a rush to send him out until he's an expiring contract next year, because he'll have more value that way.
Yeah, which you brought up to me. I didn't realize that, but his next year contract is actually $16 million, which is nicer than this year's.
And so there's an opportunity for teams who are trying to, you know, rebuild or go in a different direction to use that contract as a part of their process. Oladipo won't have value, I don't think, until he plays a few games and he shows that he still has some level of explosiveness back, which I think he can do. And then Mills, he is on an expiring contract, right? But you have to ask yourself, for a young team, do you need to move off of $7 million so bad that you're willing to give up really the perfect locker room presence for this young team? Like, for me, I think that's the type of player you want. He's an assistant coach on the bench. He's an assistant coach out on the court. He's an extension of the Thunder system. He's a guard, and he's willing to come in and step in and start. Like, he could be third string, right? And start whenever he needs to keep the bench intact. And then if he steps up into the second unit, like, he's going to be one of the better players in the second unit. So I don't see why we would rush moving past Mills. I think Mills looks like, in a big way, like a throw-in. It's a big multi-team trade.
Well, but he didn't. I mean, let's be honest. Like, Dallas didn't want him because that crunches their numbers too much. They couldn't take him on.
What's up, Unk?
So they had to get somebody to take him. And let's just be honest. Like, Oklahoma City with $7 million, they have the money. They don't really have the room in as far as players do. But that's when you're looking at players and you're saying, all right, I believe in this player. I believe that they're going to be good, but their contract isn't right. Or I believe in this player, but they haven't played up their potential yet. So we might move on from them. You know, they didn't have a good offseason. They didn't do anything spectacular. They didn't gain any weight. You know, like, they came in a little heavier, in fact. Like, you know, there's certain things that you can say, like, okay, this player isn't ready for what we're trying to teach here. You know, so there's going to be at least one or two of our, I would say, younger assets that are going to be moved on from. Because we have players that, in my opinion, are better. When you're talking about Jack White, man, the guy's like, seriously, guys, he's going to be like, I know last episode, like, I talked about him, but the reality is that when you're talking about a hustle guy, right? And you know me, Mark, I love hustle guys. I love hustle guys more than anything else because of the heart of a team. And Jack White's that guy at 6'7". I mean, he's all over the place. There's never been a loose ball in any game that he's ever played that he wasn't somewhere around the loose ball. You know, like, he had so much impact in the game on defense and on offense and cutting to the hole and getting around screens. And these are the type of guys that we're filling our team out with. You know, like, they're not one-dimensional. Like, okay, this guy is a true power forward. You know, like, no. Like, even Jack White, like, people are like, oh, yeah, he's a forward, small forward. He plays guard, right? He's a hybrid, guys. That's what this whole idea of what's happening to this team is so powerful and so exciting.
So, you know, I think the long answer obviously is, like, this isn't the right type of trade for us. But the short answer is there are many trades within the packages that you said. Like next year, Bertans will be valuable. This year, before the trade deadline, I think Oladipo will be valuable. I think Mills, we're actually going to probably maybe look at re-signing. A little bit the way that we used Derek Fisher in the past, if you remember, or Caron Butler. Like you bring them in and you keep them around the locker room because they're such good players. So could we
Mistich, you got to keep Mistich too, man. You got to see what he can do because there's no reason to trade a player. You got, listen, he could be worth two first rounders. You know, like he could be in that position where teams are like, listen, we're not going to get a better point guard on our team. And he's the best of the cheap point guards. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you got to go out there and you got to play some of these guys. You got to see what they can do. If a team is willing to give you a sick deal for, you know, Mistich, then you got to go with it, man. But at this point, I don't see a team going to be coughing up a first rounder for him.
So how does this change our look for the team from tip off?
Patty game Mills, one? Derek Fisher, like that.
Right? Like if we're talking about maybe having Mills on the team, maybe having Oladipo and Bertans on the team. Like all three of those guys theoretically could start the season with a Thunder. Maybe not suiting up. Maybe they're going to take some time to, you know, maybe they won't end the season. But does it change our outlook at all? Do you think these veteran players will help our win total or are they just there?
Well, here's the thing. Like we get 15 players, right?
I think that's what it's at, right?
So if we have five vets, you know, that can do different things, I don't think that's a bad thing. And if you look at Kenny Hustle, he's in there. Like, to me, like, if you've got, think of an Oreo, you know? Like, that's what I feel like it could be, like, the young guys on either end, right? And the old guys in the middle. Gosh, that sounds like, never mind. We won't get into that. We'll go with Oreo.
Sounds like you've been hanging out on Pornhub too much, bro.
Anyways, I that's what I think it should be like. I think that it should be these veterans that are in the, you know, 6 through 10 spot, you know? Even, throw them 6 through 11, throw them in there, right? And then all the other guys are earning their spots to get in there. You know, like you got to go play in G League. Damn it, I hate playing in G League. Well, guess what? Like that's where your minutes are going to come from right now. In order to beat one of these guys out there, which you got a Euro MVP, right? I mean, you got so much stuff right there. I mean, like it's insane. Like you've got so much climbing up. You've got Isaiah Joe, Kenny Hustle. I mean, where are you going to go? Like that's what this team is built to do is, again, we were lacking veteran leadership. I don't think all these guys are going to be staying here. I think there's going to be two or three of these guys that are going to inevitably be moving on, whether there's a buyout or whatever. But at this point, it's exciting, man. We went from having one Australian Hooper 48 hours ago to now having three. And, man, it's exciting.
Yeah. It is fun. Who knows what this, you know, how these cuts will go. I mean, there's this roster. Sam Presti expands it in the summer. Well, the NBA does, but he makes sure he utilizes every bit of it. And then we're going to enter training camp with the opportunity for some players to make an impact. And
right off the bat,
that's what we're all
too.
About, man. Yeah.
Like I don't, when I think about Wallace, Kashawn Wallace, I'm going to say it right too, guys. I'm going to get these names right.
I think you just went backwards, but go ahead.
No, Kashawn. I'm like 90% sure I heard Kashawn is what I heard.
I'm going Kaysen until otherwise.
All right, guys, help me out here. Is it Kashawn or is it Kaysen? All right. Anyways, we're moving on. we'll let these guys talk about it. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to have that Dort effect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, watching his defensive highlights, it's incredible, his impact. There are certain players offensively that know, like, they know how to move when everybody's watching the ball, right? And he has that impact on defense. When there's something happening, he is moving. He is moving to the spot where the ball is headed before the ball goes there because he understands like offense well enough to think like as a guard, if I hit that spot, I want to kick the ball. So he'll stop the ball and move to the pass and create deflections. Like he moves in spaces where other people freeze. Yeah. And then offensive players are constantly surprised that the guy that was just guarding them is now closing out on the wing. And that type of defensive shiftiness is really going to make an impact. And you're comparing him to Dort. Like, Dort.
But it's hard because Dort just broke a record, bro. Did you see that thing I sent you?
Yeah, dude.
All right, so non-offensive charges, right? There's a record that has been held since 2011. It was a San Antonio player. I don't remember who it was. But he had 53 in one season, non-offensive fouls drawn. And Dort had 87 this last year, bro. Like, almost crushed it.
It was J.J. Barea in 2011 with 53.
It was Dallas, wasn't it then?
Yeah. So... And then Dort came out and put up 87. More than four teams.
It's crazy, bro. Like, and that's what we're talking about. If you're thinking about Dort there, right? And he's picking up 87 possessions in a season, just off that. And then you've got Jay Will, right? Who's picking up what? How many offensive charges a year? You know, like, there's not going to be a team that's going to be able to stick with us like that. You know, if we're picking up an extra four possessions off of offensive fouls a game.
That's crazy.
What's up, Phantom? And all right, so K-Sun. All right, there we go, Mark. I hope that's right. I don't know if it's right or not.
As long as we get our pronunciation from the chat, then we can never go wrong.
Oh yeah. Shout out to one of our listeners, Niners. Right. I forget his full name, but he said he's been listening to our show for 2 years now. Didn't know we had a YouTube video, which we like to show our faces on YouTube because people make fun of them. So we appreciate you for listening to us for 2 years without seeing our faces. So that's pretty cool.
Dude, last night, I got to tell you, it's like my son, he's sleeping in bed. He's 1.5, almost 2, actually. And he woke me up slapping me in the face. Whoa. I don't know why. He just started slapping me.
There you go.
I'm like, that's the first time I've ever been woken up being slapped, bro. It was a hell of an experience.
Man.
Bitch slapped by my son.
I've woken up and my kid's been staring at me like dead eye stare. I'm like, what's going on?
Nothing.
Okay. Weird shit kids do, man.
All right, so Apathetic D, I love what you're talking about here. Jay Will and Chet back on the court would be so confusing for driving teams. They'll have to avoid getting a charge called. And then the weak side SWAT coming over by Chet. And that's exactly right. You got to have one guy stand him up.
I call another the ghost blocker.
That's right. Dave calls it the ghost blocker. So,
listen, we can call it anything you want, but every single time one of those blocks come from, again, a ghost blocker, it always surprises the hell out of the person taking the shot or the layup. And it's usually something that goes four levels into the stands. You know what I'm saying? Four rows into the stands. So, you know, I like the ghost blocker, and Chet's going to get a lot of those, man. He's going to be like pushing shit aside, bro.
I agree, dude. And Phantom, you're asking who's our top 10 to 13 right now? Because generally speaking, Coach Donovan or Degnall likes to play up to 13 or 14 players throughout the course of regular season per game. This is a tough question.
It's the rotation. It's who we're playing.
Right. So we can run out the top five. And then what happens, though, is we say there's really like about 10 players that fit into that second five. And so it just depends on, like you said, the game, the situation, who's been playing recently. Is it back-to-back? But I really anticipate there being a full 15 guys who play regularly. And yeah, each game it might be
because who
12.
Like, we're talking at this point right now, are we saying Trey Mann and JRE are 13 and 4 or 14 and 15?
Well, I mean, that's the problem.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like right now is like, there's no way of putting a cap on these players. There's no way of saying this player is at the bottom of it, because the reality is that our bench is so deep and so thick. You can't say this player is better than this player, because what happens if Victor Oladipo comes out and averaging 15 points a game?
Then we trade him.
Like, again, like, that's what, you know, like, we're in this position that we have all these players, and now we just have to be patient to see what happens. Like, to me, the most valuable asset that we have as a young young player on this team right now, the unheard of young player on this team, is Jay Will. We've got to see what Jay Will can do. You know, like, clogging up that power forward, that center position that Jay Will's going to be playing is something we can't do right now. I don't think anybody truly understands how good Jay Will is going to be. I've been saying it for the last year that Jay Will is going to surprise everybody. But now I'm willing to bet it down and double down that Jay Will is going to be one of those guys that's going to surprise everybody. He's going to make it hard for us to play four guards at one time. And he just is. He's that good.
Phantom says he thinks Jerry, Poku, Man, Waters, and Kenny Hustle at the end of the current depth chart. Now, Waters
was not re-signed.
So, Man and JRE, I look at them as being significantly behind Poku and Kenny Hustle.
Yes.
Like, I understand why they look very similar. But yeah,
Hustle can play 1 through 5. That's the thing about Kenny Hustle. He proved last year that he could play the 5 position.
And fucking, and that's, so can Poku, honestly.
Yeah. And like, Poku is one of those guys that you have to say that, like, he belongs in the second rotation. 10.
Yeah,
second 10 players. But the reality of what we're talking about is, even last year, we had a 12-man rotation for most of the year. Like, we snipped down on that for a little bit. So what's the difference between having a 12-man and a 15-man rotation? Well, it means it's 4 less minutes per each starter early in the season. 5 less minutes per, you know, per team, essentially. That's nothing. Come on. That's nothing for these young guys. Like, having a second or third team like that and running them out and just keep this crazy rotation up, dude. I love it, man. I love it. Like, let SGA and Chet and Giddy and J-Dub get their full first quarter in. You know, let them get situated.
You know, we talk about it a lot. Like, it's not always about who starts the game or who hits the first rotation. It's about who's finishing the game and who plays that fourth quarter, right? Yeah. Who earned those minutes by coach. But in a big way, we have to take a step back and be like, this also applies to the season. Like, early in the season, like last year, you look at it, like, the number of players that were in the rotation that weren't in the rotation by the end of the season, it was extensive. And I think it's going to be
JRE was the biggest surprise for me.
Right.
You know, I was like, JRE is going to be in that rotation forever. And he went out and got injured, which, shame on him for getting injured, first of all. And then we saw the emergence of Jay Will. And it wasn't just like this, hey guys, I'm here to stay. No, it was like, motherfuckers, I'm Jay Will and I'm not going anywhere. And I'm here to stay. And that's the thing I loved about Jay Will, is that his statement made everybody that is an NBA expert stop and be like, have we been evaluating talent wrong? Because look how valuable Jay Will is by his offensive charges.
Yeah. And
his proficient shooting.
Apathetic D says, Hustle at the 3 and Jay Will and Poku, 4 and 5, I'm assuming, will be a great second unit along with Kaysen, Micic, and Joe. Like,
just rolling.
Exactly,
it.
Man. When you start thinking about these combinations and the flexibility coach has, you could go with Joe, Micic, or Kaysen, and each one of those guys provides such a different wrinkle. And this is our second unit. It's really, really fun.
Yeah, you know, Phantom says that he believes that Jay Will is an all NBA defensive first team. Listen, I do believe that Jay Will be in the all defensive team eventually. He's got some growing to do, footwork to go with, but the reality is that the NBA is now going to punish flopping, and Jay Will doesn't flop. I mean, I think I saw one flop of his 50-something charges last year. So 60 charges last year. So you know what I'm saying, guys? Like Jay Will be an all defensive team in the NBA. It's just a matter of time, but he needs to get recognition before that. And one of the ways that you get recognition is by breaking an NBA record. And you know, he's going to zero in on that for sure. And Jay Will break that record. That is most charges in a single season. And he's not going to just break it by a little. He's going to crush it. And everybody's going to be like, okay, well, he deserves to be on that. But that just is going to take some time.
Yeah. Jay Will, defensive first team. Oh, that'd be sweet. But, I mean, is he better than Jarrett Allen? I think he's better than Christian Wood. But I don't know if he's better than Jarrett Allen right now.
Jared Allen's elite. But tomato, tomato.
Right. And I feel like, to me, though, in the end, Jay Will's trajectory is really important. And I do feel like he's going to end up being an elite defender, like recognized around the league, because I do think he's really good. And like Phantom was saying, his offense is also underrated. I think his passing, to me, gives him a chance to be a better player than Jarrett Allen over the career. And I think that's a stretch. That's really hard for me to get to, but I think
if you asked me to pick Jarrett Allen or Jay Will right now, I would pick Jay Will, because Jay Will actually has a 3-point shot and he can actually help our team in the 3-point land. And I think that he would have more chance, and he costs less, and he has more chance to be a better player long run. So
and we talk about it a lot. Like,
I agree with Phantom to an extent. To an extent.
Would you rather block shot or charge?
Charge. Every single time. I mean, charge changes shit, bro. You see a block shot was like, ooh, but a charge up is like amped up. The ball stopped. Everybody in the stands is getting crazy. The bench is getting crazy. You're getting hyped because you just got a charge. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a different ball game. Shit could be going wrong. You get a charge and things turn around. Things could be going really, really well, and all of a sudden you get a charge and things get better. Like it's a momentum changer, and you know, a block could be a momentum changer, but it also could be a 3-point play for the other team.
Yeah. And like you said, getting the ball back side out versus 50-50 ball, you know, all those elements of it too. Plus
dude, how many times have we seen a charge for the sixth foul and a player be gone from the game?
Seems like that's
Shaq a ton, bro. I mean, when I say ton, I mean, Shaq didn't foul out an enormous amount of time, but you know, we saw it a lot with players dominating that they would, you know, get a sixth offensive foul. Boom, they're out of the game. You know, so it's big. It changes how players go down the lane. You know, I think we had Shea foul out, right? But I want to say he fouled out one game.
Maybe. I can't remember.
Anyways, I don't know. I've watched so many games the last 3 years. I forget. But like, before he fouled out, though, it changed how he was doing things, going down the lane, passing before he got his last dribble because he wasn't being aggressive. So it plays a major factor in what players are doing. So when I look at Jay Will stepping up and taking charges, there's very few things in the game that are a momentum changer like taking charges is.
So Unk says he thinks that Poku is still the fifth youngest player on the team. And let's speak to that a little bit, because last year he really shocked everybody with, even Coach Daigneault talked about like how surprised he was. Sam Presti talked about the progression that Poku made. So do you expect another leap from him, or do you think that's too much to expect right now?
No, I've said since day one that Poku should be playing a five, and everybody made fun of me for saying that. And then Poku came out and proved that he can play a five last year by getting blocked shots, by getting rebounds. So for me, I want to see the thin towers or whatever you want to label them as out there. But the reality is at this point is that Poku had a season last year to separate himself from Jay Will, J.R. Ree, and everybody else in that pack. And he got injured. And that's not a knock against Poku. That's just the fact. Like, he had a chance to separate himself, because if you take what he did in the first of the season, and if he was able to finish that in the second half of the season, I'm telling you right now, there's not a chance that Jay Will or J.R. Ree would have been able to take that spot from him. But now you left the door open for Jay Will, you know, and that's a huge hill to climb. But do I think that Poku could go out there and average 2 blocks a game? Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Not just do I believe he will, but I know he will. He's going to average 2 blocks a game. And it's just one of those things where, you know, having him and then having Chet average, 3 or 4, and then throwing in Jay Will's 2 or 3 offensive, collecting offensive charges like he does. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, people talked about our weakest thing last year as being our interior defense. We don't have interior defense, no shot blockers, nothing, right? What do we have now? We got an interior defense like motherfuckers. Like, people are going to be coming down the lane like, oh, we got past Chet. Bam! Jay Will. Foul out. Motherfuckers forgot about Jay Will. And that's what's going to happen over and over and over again. Like, these guys are thinking like, we're good, we're good, we're good. And all of a sudden, boom, that's where we attack. And that's what gets me excited. That's what gets everybody else excited, is the fact is that this is just the beginning. We really don't know what this team can do. We don't. we saw a team that collected an amazing amount of incredible defensive stats, plays, whatever you want to say. But we only got to see that team do that for a short amount of time healthy. So what's this team going to do when they're truly healthy? Are they going to be a top five team in defense? Yes. Where does that put us then? If we're top five in defense and our offense is incredibly efficient, where does that put us? Are we saying that I believe that this team can win 52 plus wins? Yes, I do. I do. This team is designed to gobble up wins during the regular season.
So I love all this J. Will love going on in the chat right now.
Needs to happen, man.
Phantom says J. Will's court vision is baby Jokic. None on earth thought he'd be that good. He even shoots better than Trey Mann and beat him in practice multiple times. I think we're still sleeping on J. Will. And then Apathetic D says J. Will's ability to connect passes off screens and pick and pop will be a chance to the whole dynamic for us. I dig it, man. I think J. Will is a big part of our future. I think the way he plays, and then you add in that mentorship that maybe Patty Mills can give him, because Patty Mills is a very good positional charge taker. And I think that this will be a part of definitely the future of the Thunder.
Dude, it's the extra possessions in every single game. How many times have we say, like, the basketball game, most basketball games come down to the last, or like, six possessions, right? Think about it. Like, six possessions. If you think about that, if we were able to get six possessions a game by offensive fouls, by drawing the offensive fouls, right? You know, and then we're able to get steals and do this other stuff while we take care of the ball like we do.
Take care of the ball.
Like, I know. Like, people are saying, like, oh, you guys are crazy for saying that the Thunder could win, you know, 50-plus games. Why? Why is it so difficult for us to believe that this team is way more special, way more spectacular than we can even see right now? You know, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, guys, we're going to be on here. We're going to be talking to you guys and watching the game. Why? Because we are so fucking hyped right now. Like, we are so hyped. We cannot, like, control our shit right now. Like, we cannot wait until the season starts, because we know, you guys know, it's special.
For sure, dude. And we got a couple questions about Tobias Harris rumors. Maybe Oklahoma City try to trade for him. Look, the last time we made a trade with Philly, right, I think it was the Al Horford deal. And we got their 2025 first round pick. We got Micić. We got Al Horford. Like, to me, what I look at here is, could we be willing to take Tobias Harris? Yes. Why would we take Tobias Harris? Because they were done with him. They were tired of paying him the money. They needed to get off that contract. And we would take assets back for taking Tobias. I don't think that we want Tobias to help our team get better. We want Tobias to add additional assets with taking on that money. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to spend $30-something million for him, though. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think if anything is going to happen, the one thing that I keep going back to is the Golden State Warriors. They want our big man that we played with us last year. You know, they're saying we want him.
You're talking about Sarge.
Yeah, they want Sarge, man. Good old Sarge, bro. That's who they want. They want Sarge. They want signed Sarge. Why hasn't he gone over there and signed yet? Well, it's because a trade is coming. So who are they going to trade that's going to be Sarge-type money? So let's just say Sarge signs for, like, what, $10 million? $15 million? What is he going to sign for? 15? I don't know.
Eight.
So you throw in there 3-year, $15 million each, serves $45 million. So then you have to add a couple other contracts. So let's just say you throw in, Micić, right? And
no.
You throw him in there. And what happens now? You're at $24 million-ish. Well, why is that important? Well, then you're looking at $24 million. Who on their squad is $24 million? And then you start realizing that's Wiggins.
Wiggins is like $40 million, bro.
$24
million. There's no way.
$24
million. Really? Mm-hmm. Why are they complaining they overpaid for him at 24?
They're done with Wiggins, man. And I think that's the thing, is that we're willing to give them players. I don't want necessarily Wiggins, but if we're going to go out and get a player, I mean, if we're going to get any type of add-on player that's, you know, really, really good, like somebody mentioned somebody on here a second ago, but it doesn't matter. We have to have comparable salaries. Well, how do you get there? Well, you got to get somebody in the $20 million salary. That's good, but that's not going to dominate a team.
So,
we can get there any other way, but going and getting Tobias Harris isn't going to work unless we give up somebody on that they want that's going to help them win right now. But it does work if we go out and get Wiggins and then we package that deal with Wiggins. Because then that works. But that's, again, there's so much more movement that need to happen at this moment that needs to be able to work out. But I just don't see it happening right now. Maybe I'm wrong.
Look, they'd have to give up a lot to get off of Wiggins if they're done with him. Like you said, like, there's three guaranteed years in the player option after that. So that's quite the situation to try to get out from underneath.
Yeah.
Average salary, $27 million a year. Well,
but if you take that out, then you're only paying like $100 and something million in fees. Then you can cut as many people as you want that, you know?
Yeah. So Phantom asked this question, and I think I know your answer, but why don't you just tell me the why of the answer? Would you rather Şengün or J-Will?
J-Will.
Okay, so the why. Tell me why.
Şengün can't shoot. He can't really play defense. I mean, he can play defense, but
he's got that Manador defense.
Yeah. I'm sleeping on you defense. But J-Will, man, J-Will is just everything. Like, if I was building a team and I was saying I wanted a big man that was understanding of what it took to be physical in the NBA, that take charges, to be that no-nonsense player, but that's not going to take the spotlight like somebody like Draymond Green. You know, you got to look at J-Will as one of those guys, like, immediately. Like, he's going to do so much good without taking a spotlight. He's going to help your team. He's going to, you know, mature. He's going to get better with time. Like, I look at Şengün and I see this young man that Mark and I liked during the draft process. But the reality is that he doesn't fit this Oklahoma City Thunder team. He just doesn't. So, all right, Draymond versus J-Will. All right, here's the thing about this. Draymond, $100 million, 4 years, you know, big contract. That's what I would say there. Now, I don't like the spotlight that Draymond brings either. And I don't like the fact that he likes to punch little children in the face.
What's up,
but
bro,
I do say that I love J-Will. Like, you could ask me about any power forward in the league, and unless this power forward or center was an elite power forward or center, to be J-Will, because J-Will, we don't know how good he's going to be. When I say he's going to break the charge record for most charges in a season, he's not going to just do that. He's going to break an all-time record in charges. He's going to redefine when teams play against us, how they're able to play when J-Will's on the court. And that is way more valuable than Draymond Green, that, you know, plays lockdown defense, who's going to put up 7, 8 to 10 points a game. You know, I just don't, like, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I think J-Will is one of those, you know, elite players that you want to have on your team, that you want to build around. And that's why I think that people just don't understand how good J-Will is. And when we're looking back in 5 years and people are saying, you know, who were the best players in the 2022 draft? And everybody's like, da, 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 whatever, all in opinions. But everybody's saying, who's the biggest steal? It'll be J-Will, 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 J-Will. And everybody will be like, J-Will found himself somehow breaking the top 7 in the redraft.
Dude, Grant thinks that Shea and OG Anaboy would be a really good fit together.
That would be sick, bro. Well, the All-Star
game together. I dig
it. Hell yeah.
And Road Dog, kudos, reminding us that Draymond likes to kick people in the nads. So,
oh yeah. I mean, likes to punch kids in the face. That's what I think about Jordan Poole. You know, I think of a, like, solid. My daughter likes it. It's those K-pop, man. Think of K-pop when I think of Jordan Poole. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Draymond shouldn't have done that. But
no, dude, you don't hit people, bro. I mean, you can hit them in the nuts during games, but throwing punches at them, come on.
And I mean, ultimately, like, you've got two players that are going in different directions of their career. Draymond's on the back nine at the very least, probably further along than that. Whereas Jay Will, he can still improve every year for the next 8 years, probably, and just continue to get better at playing. For us, he already plays old man game. So it's about understanding how to, you know, continue to improve your production in that spot. But I mean, it's a great question. And I think even asking the question kind of shows how far Jay Will came along.
Man, last thing before we go, we had a listener that decided to go ahead and call Mark and I morons, hippie morons, which, hell yeah, I'm bring it, right?
We appreciate you.
And I'm all cool with leaving that up there. But the reality is then he went back on and started like talking shit on our listeners, calling them morons too. So
I never saw this, bro. So you got rid of it?
I got rid of it, man. I said, fuck no. Like, talk the shit on us, but leave our listeners alone. We want you guys to always have a freedom of speech on the chat. So, you know, obviously if someone wants to make fun of you, we will try to say no to that. But we're not going to be parents. So if you say something stupid, you have to stand up for yourself. But you know, you can't attack the hand that feeds you and then the people that are fed and then think things are going to be right.
And Dave, the moderator, has decided you are out.
Fuck off. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you tonight.
Hit end. Hit.